is a paid program.
The viewpoints expressed on The Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors.
It's time for The Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Lott. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Lott.
I tell you what, we've got Michael Dazarian on the line. Michael, welcome to the Edge Radio broadcast.
Hello there, Daniel. Nice to be on the Edge. Great show you got there.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. And the type of topics that you discuss just fit like a hand in a glove when it comes to the Edge Radio broadcast. We're always outside the mold and always talking about things some people say you shouldn't even be talking about. But I think we need to talk about them and get these things in the open and see what truth we have.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's exactly the kind of platform that we need right now in these times where truth is at a premium. And, you know, we're fighting wars right now. You know, it used to be on the battlefield with muskets and even before that with swords. Today we're doing it with microphones, radio stations, with pen and paper, with the internet. You know, it's still a war, though. It's still sort of a battle of Armageddon that's going on. It's just with different weapons, different tools.
Yeah, and I don't know how close you looked at the Edge Radio broadcast, Michael Dazarian, but somebody sent me this quote, and I just kind of claimed it as the Edge quote, and that is, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Do you agree with that?
Yes, indeed. That's a very fine quote. I believe it was that a George Orwell?
Yes, it must have been. I tell you, about everything George Orwell wrote about is what we're seeing right now.
I think I've used that quote in my book. It's very fine, and it's really true, and it's also good to remember that there has never been a time free of tyranny. It's not that we're suddenly in tyranny at any given point in time. I mean, certainly the temperature can raise, you know, things can get more heated, the rivals can become more forceful, but really if you look back in history, there is never a time when we have been free, you know, to live the way that human beings are really meant to live. You know, it's an indoctrination on many levels, but it's been persistent. The forces that we're talking about here are age old, and it's not something that's just sort of happened overnight in the same way that some criminal syndicate maybe does come in and take over a retail outlet or casino. Mm-hmm. We're talking about universal evil, you know, principles that have been very much in power for thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. And I've gleaned from other guests that veer into this realm that force of evil and even the wealth has been passed down through eons of time. The intelligence and the plans have been accumulating, and it really stays in sort of a same type of family. So they seem to have more control than if the voters of a whole country voted for something, they could at will change it.
Well, exactly, and not only is it an old game, but this game includes these full political arenas. The individuals who are at the top of the power pyramid are very adept at knowing how to stave off revolution, how to make sure that the human creature that's under their control remains in bondage. And to do that, the slave must not only have his food, and the slave must not only have his roof over his head, his hovel to live in, but he also must be given the idea that he has some sort of power. And that the political pigsty out there is a perfect way, an illusion. Of course, a little bit of good gets done here and there, but historically it's absolutely meaningless. And the slave hasn't woken up yet, obviously, to realize that legal power is much better. That legal, taking the law into your hands, becoming erudite, even in some basic legal rights, all the way up to personal sovereignty and social sovereignty and state sovereignty. These are the important areas because these are the important weapons that's being used against us. When any state apparatus, you know, is harassing you, it doesn't matter one jot whether you happen to be conservative or labor or Republican or Democrat. When nobody stops you, I've never in my life ever heard of a policeman or IRS agent or any of the other Big Brother agents, when they're kicking down your door, I've never ever once heard of a situation in which they stop and go, hey, Daniel, tell us first before we beat your head and take your children and, you know, give you the summons and do whatever. Could you please tell us whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, because it's going to make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
No way. We only wish that that would be the case. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. It's a legal leviathan that is, you know, in effect when we are being, when we're losing our rights, when we're losing our sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
So the human race really needs to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sick seeing clipboards in the street saying, you know, here's what party you vote for and tell us all about, the, you know, your political affiliations. I can't wait till I see young women, young girls, young boys in the street from the universities with clipboards in their hands saying, hey, here is your legal rights. Here's some of your, you know, grassroots level legal protections. You know, would you come to a seminar on that? Here, do you know about our radio station on that? Do you know about our website on this? This is where the real empowerment of the human race comes, because it's exactly the forces being used against us.
Yeah. Michael Desiring, are you aware of any attempt to silence people from disseminating truth information out on the Internet?
On the Internet, yeah. I mean, obviously, Jordan Maxwell, some of my mentors, Anthony J. Hilder, my God, we don't have to talk about people like Eustace Mullins. You know, absolutely. There's all sorts of methodologies, you know. Obviously, the Internet is controlled by Big Brother on a certain level. I mean, most of the world is. That doesn't mean that we don't use it for all that we can.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, if these individuals feel that you are a sufficient threat to them, there's no doubt in my mind that they will censor you or, you know, cause problems. Sure.
Okay. All right, Michael Desiring. Now, you wrote a book. Well, go ahead and give us the title and the basic contents. What will we find in your book you wrote?
Well, the book is called Atlantis, Alien Visitation and Genetic Manipulation. And it is about ufology. It is about alien visitation. It does deal a lot with the Bible and some of the themes that I hope your audience is familiar with. But the difference with my book is that, first of all, it deals largely with the Celtic tradition. Because I've always believed, and I've said a lot in my work, that, you know, the Zachariah Sitchins of the world and many of the other people in this field, you know, like Eric von Däniken and so on, I love their work, but there tends to be a big focus on Babylon, Sumeria, and mm-hmm. that kind of area of the Middle East.
Yeah.
And yet here we are, or at least, you know, I discovered, being from Ireland, that, wait a minute, here in the Arthurian tradition, here in the more ancient Gaelic tradition and the Celtic tradition, we've got an enormous archive of information about the pre-Diluvian world, the world before the flood. We've got information about super technologies. We've got information about the War of the Gods, the Battle of Light and Dark.
Mm-hmm.
We even have information in there about the genetic hybridization of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the book is about. It's hopefully to share with readers that, you know, we need to also look at this Scots-Irish, Celtic, Druidic tradition, which hasn't really been looked at in that light by anyone because mm-hmm. of the fact that it's hidden under the veil of fairy folklore, of old wives' tales. You know, and yet there's a tremendous interest in the Celtic tradition. You know, we've had very good books written on it for many years, but nobody has actually looked at it with real educated eyes. But now today, as our own modern technology advances, and as we get some of these super technologies, we can look back and read in these myths and legends and start taking them seriously. It's not just Hollywood here we're talking about. These legends are our ancestral archive, and they're trying to tell us something about the world that we live in today. And the second reason why the book is very, very important is because it deals, and I know, remember we talked about this earlier, you and I, about the origins of evil. This is one of the most important themes in my life, and I think that every time I read a book about very key subjects, especially dealing with the paranormal or with the metaphysical, this question seems to be dodged around a lot. Maybe that's because people don't have answers, or it's maybe that we've just been so mind-controlled by religion, you know, who's meant to have, religion, after all, has been the group that's meant to be answering that question, and yet we don't really have answers. So my work has been to look into this absolutely pivotal question of evil to find out why it is that evil came into being.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a...
Okay.
In fact, on my website, taroscopes.com, we have a free talk, a web stream, if people have a good internet connection. You know, and they're interested in the subject, please, you know, want mm-hmm. to direct them to the website, because there's a free web stream there. that will go into greater detail than perhaps we can do on the radio. But there's information in the book, but there's also, we just erected a free web stream talk on the origins of evil, which will put people in the know about this mm-hmm. and start to look at it from a different mm-hmm. light, because mm-hmm. it's fascinating. The actual true story of how evil came into being is absolutely needs to get out now
yeah.
and needs to be told to the world
yeah.
so that we can have sanity and we can mm-hmm. be optimistic about what's going to be happening in the next 10 years, because
yeah.
our future depends on us having some of these major questions of life that have plagued the human race for thousands of years, that have plagued our forefathers, our ancestors. Well, we now need to get the answers. And, of course, part of that is to stop believing all the falsities that have been told to us mm-hmm. from the pulpit and from other sources, which are erroneous.
Are you saying that the preachers out there aren't always telling the truth?
Well, yes, I am, in fact. It's not that they may be doing that consciously. It's also a case in which, mm-hmm. This power pyramid works in a certain way, in which, truth is at a premium in this world. And any type of organization has an organized kind of, thinking, an organized kind of belief system. And unfortunately, the great meta-themes of our life, like why man is so unjust, why he is so sadistic, why he's treating the earth and animals and children and women in such a despicable manner.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this has all been told to us as either Darwinian error, Mother Nature got it wrong, nonsense, which anybody who believes that certainly needs their head examined, because how on earth could that which is in perfect balance from the greatest neutron star to the subatomic level, in perfect balance, right?
Right.
How could it suddenly just make a blunder with its highest creation, mm-hmm. man?
Yeah.
Anyone who believes this, anyone who sells this, is deranged, in my opinion, and is buying into a severe lie. It's time for the true story mm-hmm. of how this schizoid nature, this schism mm-hmm. in human consciousness, this inner fight. And it's very important to find out the reasons why you're like this, not only for ourselves psychologically, but you see, if a human being is bipolar, schizoid, if they are frustrated and split inside themselves and have an inner war going on, very much in the way that Gene Roddenberry in the Star Trek movies have shown, we're the bipolar human being, we have an inner conflict going on, well then that kind of person in always creates a society that is also mm-hmm. fragmented, you see, broken and at
yeah.
war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We constantly then need a nemesis, an
mm-hmm.
anti-hero.
Yeah.
And we're constantly in this state where we have unrest socially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Michael, what you're actually sort of hinting there is that wars may be manufactured as a distraction.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Of course, we're mentioning there the psychological reasons that war is always going to be there, because war is inside. But absolutely, what you're talking about is political people at the top of the pyramid knowing that man is in fact split, knowing that man is in conflict,
mm-hmm.
then dishing out war after war after war to mm-hmm. appease
mm-hmm.
this conflict, because they're not going to hand you the truth to come to peace and harmony, you see, within.
Mm-hmm.
But they certainly can lay on physical wars where you can go and expatiate all your frustration. And
mm-hmm.
by God, that's happened many, many times. And many...
Okay.
People have written about this, that yes, war is a form of expiation of man's inner frustration, and the leaders have their fingers on the pulse of humanity, and they know
mm-hmm.
when it looks like a time in which, there's going to need to be this sort of a valve to release the stress. This was known after First World War.
Okay.
And if society's revolutionary spirit is not in some way processed, like back in the 60s, it was carefully and calculatedly processed through the use of the rock and roll music and the drugs, which suddenly just appears out of the blue, so that the spirit of revolution within your own people here in the 1960s would easily get, softened and would actually get canalized away. And that's exactly what happened.
Hmm.
So yes, there's during the punk era, it's okay to be piercing your own body, emasculating the self, and shaving your own hair and doing all these other crazy things, then really focusing your libido against the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
Because the powers that be know that mankind at certain points will become so frustrated with his monotonous life, you see,
mm-hmm.
that he might react.
Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
a whole school out there within these elites
mm-hmm.
that know exactly how to give every generation a new panacea mm-hmm. that will vicariously process all of the frustration that people yeah. feel. And it's important to notice uh-huh. those things.
Yeah, Michael, you mentioned that the powers that be have to give people something. That sort of reminded me of the first Matrix, where the agent said that they lost whole crops of human because they created a perfect life, but until they infused the pain and suffering, did the human condition improve, and the raising of the humans as their battery source, their power source, you know, began to thrive. So what you're saying is that some of these negative things are introduced to keep us sort of in the reservation, so that the forces of evil can control us.
That's right, and it's exactly conflict control. It is chaos control. It is divide and rule.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're talking about the people here who have literally trained the human race in a way that you would train an animal, or that you would train a species, very gradually. You know, there's two ways to train any animal. There's direct training, like your dog is sitting in front of you and you're directly addressing it. This is what happens when you're in school and the teacher's in front of you, right? That's direct training, or the parent is directly lecturing you. That's direct training. But these hidden powers are very fearful of us. And one of the ways that they use is to change the habitat, which is like a slow, gradual changing of our lifestyle, of our behavior patterns, of our habitat, the human habitat, but it's outside the realm of our normal perception. So we don't quite notice it. It might come in the form of subliminal advertising,
mm-hmm.
you see,
yeah.
or subliminal messages from the television, or 101 other ways that they know, you know, how to use the system to change the status quo. You know, unlimited immigration, for instance, right? The changing of the home space. All sorts of methodologies are used outside the normal purview of the victim. It's like a group of ants. The ant may not know that its whole habitat is being changed. Eventually, its own behavior will be doomed to be changed, will it not? This is what happens. And yet you never kind of understand, wait a minute, who's doing this? You know, we never get to grips with, this is happening consciously. You ask anybody in the street and they go, you're crazy if you believe in this conspiracy. There's no such thing happening, because it's a beautifully done, you know, artifice. It's done outside the realm of our conscious perception. And as long as everybody else has enough sex, drugs, and rock and roll and bromides to keep them busy, they will not look up from their own life and discover these greater teachings. But I believe that the time is now coming where a lot of people who may be very resistant to this are going to have to face the fact that some third party, some kleptocracy, is working out there to steal away the soul and to steal away that which many generations of people have worked for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I say on the Origins of Evil web stream and in the book, America, you know, has been a object of some of the darkest powers who've wanted to sink their fangs into this country for a long time. They lost in open warfare. And I'm talking here about the British system and the powers behind the British system. The British system basically got its ass kicked physically in the field. It knew it just couldn't take America. But it didn't just go home and sit there brooding. It found 100 other ways to infiltrate into the American milieu through the World Bank, through the private banks, of course,
yeah. mm-hmm.
is a well-known way to divide the country so that you're fighting amongst yourselves in the Civil War and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 100 other ways that have been used to bring the country down, and that has taken several hundred years. And we're now starting to see the results of this particular what's called mm-hmm. war of attrition.
Yeah.
A gradual, slow, but deliberate war of attrition in which some of the key people in the government and in the media are serving the British system and are knighted by the British. They may be American, they may have American names or be born in this country, but they do not serve America. And they are agents of the British.
Yeah.
And are privileged for bringing this country down.
Whoa. All right, I'll tell you what, everybody, you're listening to Michael Dazarian. Michael, we're going to go to break here. If you got a question for Michael Dazarian, go to theedgeam.com website. Click on the fast blast. It'll come right here to the studio. My name is Danny Lott. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Daniel Ott, host of the Edge Radio broadcast. If you would like to advertise on the Edge Radio program to a large listening audience, go to the edgeam.com website, click on services, then advertise. The Edge has one of the most intelligent and responsive audiences in talk radio. The Edge listener base is rapidly growing because we cover the topics and ask the questions no other talk show can touch. Our state-of-the-art interactive website gets over 1.5 million hits per month. Our listeners keep coming back to the Edge's website because we're one of the few programs that offer newsletters and audio archives for free. So log on to the edgeam.com website and check out what advertising on the Edge can do for you. Or call 1-800-996-9638. Advertising on the Edge, it's a great choice.
You're listening to the Edge Radio program, a show so hot, your radio might catch on fire.
And welcome back to the Edge Radio broadcast. On our newsmaker line, we have with us this evening Michael Tazarian, and he wrote the book Atlantis, Alien Visitation, and Genetic Manipulation. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Daniel. If people want to get a hold of me, they can use a number. It's 650-223-3304.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can visit my website, which is taroscopes.com. That's TAROSCOPES. Mm-hmm. And that's, if they go to the Atlantis page, there's a way to order the hard copy book. If people want the ebook, there's also an ebook available, and that's at atlantisbook.com. So atlantisbook.com for the ebook, okay, and taroscopes.com for the hard copy. Or they can just use the phone and give me a call at 650-223-3304.
All right. Well, it's all good. They got several ways to get your book, and it sounds really, really interesting. And one of the topics that we really haven't covered a lot here on the Edge Radio broadcast is the idea that Atlantis existed, but somehow we've got Atlantis and evil kind of in the same sentence. Did evil come from Atlantis, or did it predate Atlantis?
Yes, my book also deals with a lot of the disinformation that's out there. I mean, obviously we understand that it's a very attractive idea, Atlantis, but a great deal of disinformation has, you know, come down to us. First of all, Atlantis was not a continent. That's the first thing. Atlantis was on a continent, very much in the same way that, you know, Washington or New York is on the continent of America. So it wasn't the continent itself. And yes, you're right. It is the beings that founded Atlantis who are extraterrestrial visitors here, the people that the Bible and the ancient scriptures talk about as the Nephilim, the fallen angels. They were a coterie of very, very advanced beings who did visit our Earth and had to stay here because they were having a dispute with factions of their own planet, and they are the people who corralled the human race, involved this transgenic experimentation, the crossing of their own alien DNA with the DNA of our original Earth-bound inhabitants. And it is this particular problematic syzygy, this transgenic experimentation, that caused man, the creature that they would create, to be in this very bipolar state. Mm-hmm. From those days on,
yeah,
from the time of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
This was done, of course, it was a breach of the Earth's sovereignty, and we are still reeling from that. And this is not going to be told to most people. Most people are going to live their whole life and not know this, but this is the information that is now coming to light with the new science that we have. As the science of genetics becomes more known to us, these kinds of teachings will be coming to the fore and will be eventually leaking out.
Yeah.
But these teachings, whether science, modern science, accepts it or not, these teachings are in the ancient text, in the ancient chronicles. So my job is, I'm not a scientist, but my job has been to go to the comparative mythologies of the world and look into those mythologies in the same way as Emmanuel Velikovsky has done,
yeah,
and Joseph Campbell has done, and see this theme.
Okay.
What we call evil, the great injustices in the world, are caused by interference into nature's beautiful, balanced order.
So
nature did not make a blunder. It is constant tinkering with the laws of nature that has caused such a travesty to exist.
All right, Michael, let me ask you something. Are you saying that the human species would have been a perfect species had not evil been introduced?
Right, and we have glimmers of that perfection today, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, this coterie that came here, they meant business.
They were very, very powerful,
super scientists.
Basically
annihilated the human race. And whatever was left, they turned them into slaves.
Michael,
and
give me,
then
Michael.
They cross-pollinated them, or we crossed their own DNA. So that we have this advanced technical side, which I'm not saying that in itself is bad. But we also have the soul level, this violet ray, this other spiritual component that links us back to Mother Nature. We are a bipolar being, and we are working it out in time as to how those two sides of us can be reconciled. But I believe that if this interference hadn't have happened, the human being was not just a primitive caveman that's been put before us. This is another lie, you know, of official science that has put this whole lie, which is totally...
So we didn't come from monkey.
We were not primitive beings. We were traumatized, because we had experienced floods and pole shifts and the intervention of these alien forces who brought this all about. Sure, we were traumatized.
Yeah. Okay.
But the kind of being that we were before this experimentation was absolutely whole brain, absolutely umbilically connected to the true computer of the universe and didn't need any such interference.
Yeah. Michael, we have a question. We need to get some questions in here. We need to get some questions in here. Somebody wants to know, because they were listening to you just a few minutes ago, you said something about British agents. Do you have any documentation that they exist or that they've infiltrated the government?
Oh, there's no end of evidence to this. Check out their web stream. That's a good question. Definitely go to my website, taroscopes.com. Check out the links page. Mm-hmm. There's a section in the links area that talks about the occult history of America. You'll find a lot of interesting links there that show how the Constitution was fabricated, you know, just how the founding fathers were also in service to the British government. It's a very, very lengthy, you know, subject. This, of course, can't be treated in just a few minutes on a radio station.
Yeah.
But use my links page in the Occult History of America. There's also information in the book. And this is a well-researched subject. It's not just me saying this. The expert, as a matter of fact, in this very subject is one of your own statesmen. Lyndon LaRouche, if anyone actually picks up some of his information, especially his book Dope Incorporated, that's D-O-P-E-I-N-C, Dope Incorporated, you will literally have all the dope. So whether you're pro-Lyndon LaRouche or negative Lyndon LaRouche as a statesman or as a politician, you know, please go and reference his work.
Okay.
You know, put these petty differences aside and go and study this great man's work and what he has exposed from a point of view of European history and the subterraneous take over America by these forces. But yes, there's a lot of information on it. I go into more information in my book and also on the web stream that we've just put up on the website.
Okay. All right, Michael, you mentioned just a second ago about we were saying, or I asked the question, would the humans be perfect? And you said that there are maybe several examples of that. Do you have any examples of people in the world that you may consider, say, less contaminated or even perfect?
Well, that's easy. Of course, like anyone, I would be thinking of the Mozarts and the Beethovens and the Salvador Dalis.
I was thinking of Mother Teresa.
I think those are glimmers. Those are sort of ways for us to have sort of windows, because we know that you know, even some of these great geniuses have very problematic characters, so it's not that I'm saying they are the perfect ones.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, I have many mentors, you know, coming out of like C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. And the people that I look to as being mentors, absolutely I believe that there's a throwback to Lemuria and to the time when the sons of the serpent, these individuals that I'm talking about who were created genetically in the Garden of Eden, in which they were made to serve the first generation that had the alien DNA and had the human DNA, they actually decided to not continue with that status quo.
Yeah.
And they actually set up their own thriving civilization on another continent that used to be on the Earth called Lemuria. And it's from that particular civilization that comes a great deal of the culture and the wealth and the going back to nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's also where a lot of the cults of the female, as the female being the initiator and the female being the keeper of the wisdom and the keeper of the knowledge, that is linked to Lemuria. I go into this in the book and show why women have been marginalized for thousands of years, why they've been suppressed, why they've been denied any type of office in religion or in government.
Well, Michael, that brings me to this question here. It just seems unfathomable that today's rap music can denigrate women so much by calling them hoes and everything else there is, and it's the woman as is portrayed in a lot of those videos as the slave of the man. How is it that they get away with doing that?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. it goes back to man himself being the depraved one. You see, man is out of integration with his own feminine. Man is so, like we've been talking, is so schizoid inside that when he is in, when his internal house is in disarray, when he is not, when he has no, when he is not able to develop his own feminine qualities, how on earth, or if he's living also in a society that dumbs down and marginalizes and suppresses the feminine tendencies, right? Which of course is all over the world. There's so much predisposition to swing you to this extreme, preposterous, masculine archetype. Of course, then, women in physical are going to be degraded. And then the second half of that is that the women who buy into that, the women who realize, well, this is the kind of man you have to deal with, or this is the kind of masculine culture, so instead of changing it, let's join it. Let's become submissive to that. Submissiveness is not just, you know, the housewife in the kitchen who has no life. Submissiveness can also mean, can mean ideological, philosophical alignment with a false masculine paradigm. This is extremely deep. Mm-hmm. Many psychologists have gone into this.
Okay.
Man is out of integration with his own feminine. He's also sold by the media tremendously negative feminine models and roles. Where are the strong female roles in this world? Let me only say, not only on the media, but where in this world do you have it? You don't. So without the strong female model, the positive female model that's being sold to you by the media, and without a true sense of masculinity being taught to somebody, the patient, the victim, is already so out of balance in his own gender.
Okay.
That he's doomed, you see, to be able then to treat the physical female in a brutal and sadistic and condescending way.
Okay. All right. Now, we're talking about the origins of evil. Is evil, is it a tendency? Is it a demonic force? Is it the dark side? What is the essence of evil?
It's a tendency. It is definitely not a demonic force, except I would probably say that the people who did this splicing of the human DNA, that's pretty demonic, if you want my opinion.
Okay.
And no doubt an individual man can move so much by his alien proclivities, right, that he has become demonic. We know many examples of that. But it's not demonic in itself. Everyone has to fight this tendency within. We all do every day. Shall I steal? Shall I, you know, get ahead by backstabbing my fellows at work? You know, shall I lie to the ones that love me? Shall I betray my friends? Right? Mm-hmm. We have a constant inner, you know, as we know, the soft moral war that goes on inside of us every day, the sort of soft fight. And then we have the mega fight on many other levels in our life. So it is a tendency. Now, the planet of the Lemurians,
which
to kind of help the human race, well, they were the human race. They were the ones with the problem. The Lemurians tried to work these alien, you know, tendencies out of themselves by different methodologies.
Mm-hmm.
I even have tracked back the yogic science. Anybody who's listening who's very interested in yoga and mysticism and the whole science of religion pertaining to, you know, yoga, where that actually comes from. I mean, people just think, oh, that started in some valley over in India somewhere with the Hindus, and that's pretty much, you know, where we leave it. No. The act of yoga and a lot of the hatha yoga and the postures and the asanas and a lot that goes with that actually has a date of birth. That was one of the methodologies used by ancient people to what you might call condition out of them some of these alien tendencies, okay? But there was other ways as well, just by closeness to nature. Pretty much everything we're not doing today, everything we don't do in the cities and everything we don't do in our lives, well, you know, those are the things that we need to be doing, so that some of these alien proclivities are slowly conditioned out.
Okay.
But unfortunately, our societies, our media, seems to be hell-bent, you know, to reinforce those alien aspects and to suppress the what I would call the human, the truly human aspects.
Okay. Well, Michael, I want to crank that down a little bit. I want to know, when we're talking about the origin of evil and what it is, you say it's a tendency, but is it a tendency? A tendency doesn't necessarily demonstrate itself as an evil more than, I'm saying, of course in Star Wars it's called the dark side, you know, but there's people behind that. There's conjuring, there's spells that are cast, you know, you could make somebody think or do what you want. Is it molecules? Is it hypnotism? What is it?
Well, again, it's on the root level. The DNA is energy, okay? So DNA, for a start, is not just some Lego set floating in hyperspace in the way that we're often shown that on magazines and also on the television. That's an erroneous concept of DNA. DNA is basically an energy, frequency type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of tampering that went on was of an extremely sophisticated level. Now, you and I know that today you can go to a laboratory, you can sit in a chair for half an hour, and they can stick a few probes in your brain, right? Especially cut off the frontal lobes, and a person is in a demonic state. And if you believe in the work of Jim Keith and others, like I do, you know that there are such people who are actually created to go and do certain demonic things who have this has happened to them. Now, that's just sitting in an armchair, you know, in a laboratory for half an hour with a couple of probes in your head, and they can change almost your entire personality. What we're talking about is thousands of years ago, a tremendously advanced civilization interfered with us on the root level. So our entire chemical soup, our entire biology, which then filters through into our psychology, you see, and then from the psychology it filters into the sociology of the way that human beings live, is conflictual, is split down the middle, is alien in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what was told, you know, in the Arthurian tradition.
Yeah.
We people who've read the myths of the world know how much emphasis is put on the twins,
yeah,
or the two dragons fighting, you see, or the two conflicting brothers,
yeah,
or the two conflicting sisters.
Okay.
You know, and there's a tremendous motif of the splitting down the middle. So we have it in our very makeup. And it's not to say that it could not possibly be remedied, but we are living in a world that's also conditioning those kinds of traits.
Yeah, so would you say then that the evilization of mankind is part of the overall plan for those who are controlling events? Are you saying it's to their benefit that they introduce and keep the evil nature or the tendencies brewing? And you mentioned earlier about even creating circumstances where you have race against race or creed against creed or religion against religion. It benefits them, from what I gather you're saying, to keep those tendencies. But what if we realize that we had those tendencies? What if we broke free? If we begin to break free as a human species, would we be able to recognize those who are doing this and find them out and then get rid of them or reverse the destiny of the human race?
Yes, unquestionably. Maybe not everybody, because some people are so sold to that alien, you know, side of them. Because remember, the alien side hasn't got any conscience. So it's actually easier, shall we use that word, to side in yourself. A lot of people find it a lot easier, a lot cooler, a lot more less troubling, you see, to live with the alien side and to not bother with this humanoid side. And it seems that there's more and more of such people walking around. I mean, I personally think that we're in a state of moral leprosy in our world. And even though some of the religions try to do good to bring people to some sort of morality, even they are not working as well anymore. People are turning away from that. So we're living in a very, very dark time in regards just the question of morality.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it won't be all the people of the world, you know, getting it right, but there is an instinct within us, within many people, especially in the metaphysical community, who have the sort of what might be called archaic memory of a time when life was harmonious, who have a memory, an ancestral memory, when things were right and there was honor and there was nobility in the world. So there is also, let's not forget about our deeper mind that kind of remembers ancestrally that there was a time of balance.
Mm-hmm.
We can always put hope in that, because no matter how dark things get, man has his encodation. He has what's called his ideolon, the whole concept that once upon a time there was a, you know, there's a measure of perfection that needs to be restored again.
Yeah.
In that process of trying to get back to that which you know must exist, it's mostly a process of deconstruction. That means that it is not about getting more or finding, ways more. It's about finding what is impeding your growth and getting rid of it. Meaning that it's not so much a acquisitive journey. It's about finding what are the forces that are impeding and blocking your natural movement towards perfection or harmony.
Hmm.
My job, you know, in this research community,
is
very much to do that. It's to point out all the factors and forces, both psychological and sociological, that impede man's natural movement towards harmony. It's like you have a pendulum in your hand of a clock, and it's not swinging as it should. It's because something is blocking it, right? If you take away the block, then the thing moves naturally of its own accord, with no effort whatsoever.
Yeah.
So this is a thing that is more along those lines, which deals with exposing the forces that are impeding mankind's natural organic growth.
Okay.
There are reasons why that mankind's roots are very shallow.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question, Michael Dzarian, who is, by the way, everybody, the author of the book Atlantis, Alien Visitation and Genetic Manipulation. Michael, the idea that Adam and Eve were in the garden and there was a serpent-type creature, would you say that maybe in the lost psyche of the human history that was maybe a, based on what you're saying, maybe that was a reptilian alien of some sort?
No, I go into this in the book a lot. There's a lot of disinformation about the so-called reptoid or reptilian concept. That doesn't mean that there aren't reptilians. There certainly are. But there's also been a lot of disinformation about that. It's been presented to the world in a pretty erroneous fashion. The fact of reptilians is true, but the way that it is being presented is erroneous. So my book spends a lot of time, you know, showing exactly what that is, and that the reference that is used as the serpent people, which first was brought into reference in modern times by William Bramley. He refers to the negative adversarial agencies as the brotherhood of the snake or as the serpent people, and he's absolutely right there. And I pick up from that, from his book, Gods of Eden, and show that that term did not actually refer to the fact that they look like snakes or look like serpents. It's a term that represents super scientists. Okay, just like you see the caduceus of Hermes today on bottles of medicine and on the medical profession, people will notice that staff with two coiling serpents that's constantly used on the medical profession. Mm-hmm. Well, the serpent has long time been associated with medicine, with the Medicis, the Medics, the Medes, and before that back to the Atlanteans, the ones who had the power to heal, the power to unheal, and the individuals who possessed this knowledge of human genetics. There's a reason, because of the chromosome, the shape is very much like a serpent. Or the DNA helix theoretically looks like it's similar to the image of a serpent. Mm-hmm. So they used to be called the serpent race of the serpent people merely because they had the mastery over genetic science.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking about the serpent entering the garden. Mm-hmm. Once this is understood, that this is a human drama, and it's not about some weird entity coming in that you have to take literally look like a serpent, then things start to shift, and you have a tremendous picture that's been covered up. That was a beautiful story. The book of Genesis comes from, yes, they have a Sumerian book of Genesis. Yes, they have a Egyptian book of Genesis. And, you know, they even have an Irish book of Genesis. There's a tremendous history to that story about the primal parents meeting this bizarre representative. Now, in my book, I explain what that's all about and how it's a very different story than what you've heard in the Bible.
You're listening to the Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Lott. Expressed on the Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors. Welcome back to the Edge. We're going to continue our topics tonight, and you can be involved. All you have to do is go to our website, theedgeam.com. Click on the Fast Blast link, get your question in now, and maybe your question will be read on the air. Again, that's theedgeam.com. Click on Fast Blast to get your question in. Let's get back to the Edge Radio broadcast. Your host is Daniel Lott.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Edge Radio broadcast. My name is Daniel Lott. You can expect the best in guest every Saturday night right here on this fine station or wherever you're listening around the world. You can expect great things and great topics right here on the Edge Radio broadcast. And if you've got a question for our tonight's guest, Michael Dzarian, we're talking about Atlantis and the origin of evil. My friends, you need to go to the edgeam.com website, click on Fast Blast. We've got a number of questions for our guest as we bring him back on the line. Michael, welcome back to the Edge Radio broadcast.
Hi, Daniel.
Well, it's good to have you back. I've got a couple questions been coming in here for you. Now, a couple of our listeners actually sent this in. Do you believe in the coming of the Mark of the Beast? Have you ever heard of that?
Well, yeah, but I do, in fact, believe that. There's information that I have on that. I talk a lot about that myself and about the different ways in which that, you know, is possible to happen. So, yeah, whether you're talking about digital implants or plastic cards or super surveillance, absolutely. These things are already happening. They're part of the plan.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that's, you say the mark of the beast is part of the plan, then would you label the dark forces as the beast?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's obviously Christian terminology, but it has some merit, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have some. Now, do you believe in the existence of God?
I believe in a higher universal intelligence. Mm-hmm. I don't personally think of it as God, mm-hmm. but I'm not a Christian, but mm-hmm. I certainly do understand that there's a higher universal mm-hmm. intelligence operating in the world, absolutely.
Okay, so if someone were to take this so-called mark of the beast, obviously, as you said, refer to the Christians, they believe that you'll be damned in eternity if they take it. What do you say will happen to somebody if they take this mark of the beast?
Well, remember, when you get back into the occultism of that statement, these terminologies about mark of the beast and so forth and so on are not just from traditional Christian sources. There's an occult origin to these kinds of theories about some sort of, you know, in fact, these theories go back through the Gnostic community. And it's not so much that your soul will be damned in some hell after you die. It's about the moral leprosy that you carry around with you in life. The mark of the beast is not, again, we have to be very wary about always positing some external evil force that's just going to come and sort of, in a sort of a violent way, control our behavior or put something on us. I believe that Big Brother obviously does think in those terms, but I'm much more concerned about what it is that we're doing in our own lives to bring evil about into the world. I'm more worried about the damnation of lack of morality and injustice that human beings are carrying around inside themselves every day, as opposed to the one that may or may not be under the bed waiting to spring out at you.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to put a lot of focus on that, and often that's an escape mechanism for people taking responsibility for their absolute own nature. You know, there's enough injustice that we are perpetrating on the world, on nature and on ourselves and on our fellows, and on our so-called loved ones day by day to worry about, you know, mm-hmm. than necessarily become all paranoid about, you know, what's happening outside. In mm-hmm. my work, I also talk a lot about the paranoid society, very much in the same way that Alex Jones does. And the fact is that there's a great need for human beings to believe that there is a paranoid society, that the hierarchs, the elites, want us to believe in this bogeyman, because that works wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we know that things are getting worse. There's a lot of, things out there that there is extra surveillance. We are moving more and more towards the Orwellian police state. I'm not doubting any of this, but to me, that is so much less of a concern than the private inner conflicts of individuals where their life becomes a living hell, where their own relationship to themselves is one of unbelievable sadism. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not holy enough. You know, I'm not wealthy enough. I can't control my mind. You know, if we examine our daily life, and, you know, if you get onto the web stream that's on my Taroscopes website, I go into this, we are so self-sadistic that we really don't need any big brother with a whip over us, you know, doing any more evil to us than we already are conditioned to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have inherited so much dysfunction from our parents and from our societies and from the teachers that we are in such a pretty bad state that it is, you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is where we need to clean up the house. We need to clean up our personal house.
Mm-hmm.
And then when society is more immune, then we can turn and focus on maybe cleaning up the external travesties, you see, that tend to get in our face. What we're doing now is we think, no, forget about all my own personal stuff.
Mm.
I'm going to run out there in the political arena.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run around in the muck out there and
mm-hmm.
try to wave some placard
mm-hmm.
and get Big Brother to just, you know, run away in fear.
Yeah, well,
Big Brother is already infiltrated into your subconscious. They're already working within your own mind on a very deep level. It's over hundreds of years, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
have to start with what we know, which is our own consciousness, our own mind.
Well, I agree with you a lot of what you said, because if we were, say, back in the 1700s, we would not recognize or even know what to do with the amount of freedom that they had. And right now,
well,
I don't
put it in another way. It's not so much freedom; it's leisure.
Mm-hmm. Leisure.
You know, there's a difference. The human race has never really had freedom at all. You know, what we have in this world right now is more leisure time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Than we've ever had before.
And you're saying
we don't know how to use it.
And you're saying that's not freedom?
Excuse me?
Are you saying that leisure is not freedom?
Well, no, it's not really freedom. I mean, you see, leisure is the time that you are getting away from your overt servitude. The man who has to work as a slave, then he's given some leisure time. How can the leisure be free? It's relatively mm-hmm. free, but the man is still a slave by
mm-hmm.
definition.
Mm-hmm. Is there any civilization current that is closer to freedom than others?
Believe it or not, it's the American.
Is the Americans the last?
The American way of life, it has mm-hmm. the potentialities and is closer to the archetype, you know, closer to the model mm-hmm. of freedom. It's that doesn't mean it's still, you know, as close as it needs to be, but it certainly has the principles of freedom, and I even mean that mentally. Mentally, psychologically, this country has the greatest ability to really free itself. Too many other countries are under some mm-hmm. set of religious control. Look at me, yeah. I come from Ireland. My God, the religious control there has slaughtered people for hundreds and hundreds yeah. of years. There's mm-hmm. not an ounce of freedom in any of those people.
Mm.
Many of the other countries are in other forms of servitude, you see?
Yeah.
So, yes, we're in the Western world have a lot of leisure, which we don't know what to do with, but we also have the framework of a great deal of true freedom, true sovereignty. You have many great speakers in this country, many great mentors and heroes that are trying to get people back to a certain political solvency. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That is definitely something that needs to be always mm-hmm. monitored and always moved forward. But what we have, what we're missing in America is a psychological component. We're missing on how we deal with that in the most intimate of our circles. This comes almost like meaningless when you say it to American people because they've sort of not been presented with that kind of understanding. Yes, we've had a New Age movement that has tended to be a little bit pseudo-psychological, but we don't have a true grip on how to deal with our own inner problems. It's either medicate it or just suppress it, you see,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
get too involved in external
yeah.
things in order to forget the situation
okay.
on the most intimate level.
Okay,
so
well,
Americans tend to
right.
be very psychologically immature.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why they're wide open then, you see, to some sort of external control. What I'm trying to say is that no form of external control, and I even mean from Big Brother or from any dark rival or from any adversary, just like any virus, if your immune system of your body, let's use a medical metaphor, as all holistic doctors say, it is not about some virus suddenly knocking on the door, you know, and coming in and doing you, making you unwell. It is your low immune system that is opening the door to that taking place. This is known long before Gary Noe and long before any modern person made this, you know, clear. Mm-hmm. This has been known from the time of Paracelsus and way back thousands of years. And
yeah.
yet we still haven't quite grasped the fact we need to be immune.
Mm-hmm.
And the immunity starts on a physical, mental, psychological level and then moves out to having spiritual
okay.
immunity so that you're, you know, you're protected from those viruses
right.
that are satanic or negative. That are coming into your personal space, and then mm. you move from there into political
okay.
Sovereignty and state sovereignty. We've got this all back to front. Unless a man is sovereign in himself, unless he is centered, and unless he is immune to all the different kinds of viruses that are coming in, both physical and non-physical,
yeah.
it's very unlikely that he will live in a community that is also immune, and therefore mm. a state that is immune. All sovereignty starts with moral sovereignty and sovereignty within.
Okay.
So, yes, we may have a certain adversarial or rival faction outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly do.
Yeah.
But we have also manufactured that. And this is the key of my work. We have manufactured that ourselves. It's like the old Wizard of Oz. We have created those leaders and those deceivers because we have left ourselves open to being, you know, away from the
yeah.
truth.
Okay, well, Michael, need to ask you.
We've got
a whole lot.
To a lot of substitutes.
Okay, well,
and therefore, by dropping our own immunity,
mm-hmm.
by letting our own defenses down, well, then how can you blame? You see, all the muddy footprints around your door when you yourself have left the keys in the hands of your worst enemies.
Okay.
Are they to blame? They're only doing what they need to do. They're squatting on your sacred territory.
All right. Michael, I need to get some questions in here for you. You mentioned the sort of the health aspect of it. Do you believe that the bird flu and AIDS are man-made?
Oh, they're not only man-made. It's an entire panic concoction, again, meant to help the whole of community, the whole of the world, lower its immune system. All of this paranoia, all of this fear, has a certain effect on the energy of people. Just watching the television and hearing about all these horrors, you see, this has a very important mind control effect. There's negligible truth to it. There's been leaders in the field of bird influenza who say this is nothing to worry about. It's completely blown out of proportion.
All right.
And the government and the experts know that. But they're not worried about whether it's a fact or not. They're worrying about what the response will be. You see, it's about the response of the human race, the sitting passive audience who has not got any brains left to realize that this is just another, bogeyman, to frighten everyone so that they all run down to the local, clinic to be given their vaccinations, which is the real problem. Those vaccinations are cocktails which will certainly mess up not only your mind but your entire physicality, your body. And people are lining up to get it because they don't know any better. They don't
I definitely agree with you on that
information
one.
That's the negative aspect of vaccinations. They just believe what Big Brother says and get on down there thinking that they're doing right by themselves. And actually they're going in for the worst kind of devilry.
Okay, well then let's go ahead and extrapolate onto this. Do you think that weather is being manufactured to do evil deeds?
Oh yes, 100%. Absolutely.
In what way? How can they control
Nick
the weather?
Of course, is the expert on HAARP. He and I have had many discussions. We've exchanged books. I believe his work is pivotal in this, that there is now super microwave technology that absolutely easy, very, very easy. When you realize how easy it is now that they have the new microwave and scalar wave technology, there's no doubt in my mind that the tsunami in Indonesia was caused by the superheating of the ocean floor, which can be done very, very easily, by the way. You don't. Some people were talking about a huge cleft or a huge breaking of the Earth's surface under there, you know, and rising it up maybe 5 or 15 feet. You don't even need to do that. By just irradiating, by just simply superheating the Earth's crust, it'll just swell, and that will cause a tsunami. There's no need to have any underground earthquakes or causing anything of that magnitude. Just the mere swelling through heat. Well, they've done the thing in the reverse. They've swollen the ionosphere to such an extent with this microwave technology that that's what created the hole in the ozone layer and many of the other ionospheric troubles that we have in the atmosphere is caused by the superheating of the atmosphere through these microwave technologies dating from Nikola Tesla and even before that. Absolutely, weather can be controlled. You know, I'm not so sure whether this tsunami and, this hurricane situation in Louisiana, I haven't looked into that specifically, but there's no doubt in my mind that many of the travesties that happen, you know, I mean, look, I'm more concerned about, you know, there's a lot of whales that have been found dead all over the world. There's porpoises and sea creatures that are being beached because of under the sonic disturbance to them and also through these microwave technologies. You know, this is something that needs to be focused. The Australian newspapers are carrying a lot on that because it's been happening down in their region for quite some time now.
All right, everybody, you're listening to the Edge Radio broadcast. On our newsmaker line, we have with us this evening Michael Dzarian, author of the book Atlantis, Alien Visitation, and Genetic Manipulation. If you have a question for Michael, go to the edgeam.com website. Click on Fast Blast. It'll come right here to the studio. And, Michael, we're touching all the sort of the hot-button issues. A lot of people believe that something called chemtrails coming out of airplanes is spewing out toxic muck across the land. Do you believe in that?
Oh, no doubt about it. Where I'm up in Seattle here is tremendous. They're doing it almost on a daily basis. It's one of the other black operations, you know, but again, it's incredible. This has been fully exposed by people. It's been fully witnessed. All the details about it are known. And yet people, you know, again, we need some sort of a collective response to this, you know, so that it can be stopped.
Well,
there's a lot of good information on my website on the links page regarding that. By the way, my website is taroscopes.com. That's all one word with one T, plural, taroscopes.com. And my phone number is 223-3304. That's 650-223-3304.
All right. And hopefully the Edge listeners will respond to you and see exactly what you have there for them. And what is why did you call your website Taroscopes? What does that word mean?
Well, because my main work is in the divination arts. I have an online mystery school, that teaches the Hermetic arts of divination. That's astrology, tarot, Kabbalah, and numerology. My main website is dedicated to that. My main work is. I come from a long line of clairvoyants who've worked there before me. My mother was actually from the Himalayas in India, so I've always been grown up in the mystery school tradition and have carried on that kind of work, because I believe we've been talking a lot about psychic hygiene, and we've been talking about, you know, how man is to get in contact with his own inner spiritual guides. It is through these divination arts that were the legacy from Egypt, but the legacy, we have a thing called the Western magical tradition, and this Western magical tradition is Druidic in origin by way of Egypt, and then it's moved into the modern world, but again, it's vastly misunderstood. It has been given a negative sort of connotation, but there are certain practices that are a Western, bona fide Western magical tradition that people need to study and look into. We have a tremendous amount of information on the website about that, if people are interested to find out with objective mind what these great mystery school disciplines are all about. That's what my main work is.
Yeah. Now, how do you know that when you mentioned tarot cards and all these other type of divination and whatnot, how do you know that working them or however it is you're studying them or practicing them, how do you know that you're not opening a door somewhere or giving permission somewhere to some dark entity to come in and maybe either possess you or direct you or mislead you even for that matter?
Well, that's a great question. And again, it is not so much the cards or the subjects. The subjects are nothing. They're no different than computer science. So let's get that straight down the middle. Learning music is exactly the same procedure as learning tarot. The tarot, the astrology, the Kabbalah, these things as subject matter, right? They're no different than mechanics or any other subject. They're equally as complicated or as uncomplicated as any other thing that exists that you might have to learn in your life. The reason why certain people have, been negatively affected is because they themselves, before they even go to those subjects, have issues within them morally. It is their motive, it is their intention as to why they'd be going towards those things, and there's no denying that some people have a very negative intention. Some people want to use these things so that they can have power. Some people want to use these things because they want to be able to influence other people. You know, there's all sorts of motives. Let's not rule out the fact that human beings are incredible creatures. We have all sorts of subconscious and conscious motives, and it is those motives that will lead you wrong, because these sacred subjects have protection. And not everyone in the world is just going to, plow in with their muddy boots, so to speak, and be able to come towards the altar of these magical sciences. These magical sciences are sacred and they're protected, and not everybody can bring their disgusting, consciousness into those arts. They will then be warded off with either insanity, you see, or psychic problems and so on. So let's not look at the oracles, because some of the finest minds in the world have worked with those oracles and have never been ill-affected. Okay, so there's been great people all over the world who studied these subjects. Psychologists like Carl Jung, for instance, comes to mind, and many other of the greatest humanitarians and geniuses have sworn by these divination arts. So these divination arts are very sacred, but just like anything that is of a light, if that which is dark, comes to that light, the first thing that the light will do will shine up the filth and the dirt of that person, and that is often what happens.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We've got to go to break here. Michael Desiring, everybody, you're listening to Michael Desiring right here on the Edge Radio broadcast. If you've got a question for Michael, go to the edgeam.com website. Click on Fast Blast. They'll come right here to the studio. If you want to know who's coming up next week, go to the edgeam.com website. You'll see it in several locations. Actually, next week we'll be having Peggy Kane. We're going to be talking about reverse speech, and we're going to hear what she has to say. And, the audio archives are always posted up on the Edge Radio website free of charge. It's our gift to you here at the Edge Radio broadcast. Hello everybody, this is Daniel Ott with the Edge Radio Broadcast. If you want to become a Lightyear Alliance representative, all you need to do is click on the special link provided on our website, theedgeam.com, follow the sign-up prompts, and you'll be in business for yourself in a matter of days. And don't worry folks, we won't leave you out there all alone either. myself, the staff here at The Edge, and of course, Light Year Alliance will all be right there to help guide you and help you on your way to become financially independent. So don't wait. Be one of the first to become a representative in your area, and The Edge Radio Broadcast will guide others to you. That's right. We'll guide other opportunity seekers to you right to your door. It can't get any better than that. So come on, join me in Lightyear. Cash in on the biggest transfer of wealth this nation has ever seen. And if you need assistance signing up, email the station or call 1-800-996-9638. And we'll get back to you as soon as we can. This is Daniel Ott with The Edge Radio Broadcast. And welcome back to the Edge Radio Broadcast. My name is Daniel Ott. You've tuned in to the hottest show in the nighttime sky, beaming across the world, live audio streaming through PlayStream. If you've got a question for tonight's guest, go to the edgeam.com website. And that question will come right to us. And you know, hey, by the way, we've started a Wednesday show. We want to announce that. Of course, we started it last week. If you missed that Wednesday show, it's all about the Lightyear Alliance opportunity. You need to tune in this Wednesday as we have more exciting information about the largest transfer of wealth ever. It's called Voice over IP. And as a matter of fact, our guest is on our Newsmaker line, and he's coming through our Voice over IP hybrid box. And Michael Tazarian, welcome back to the Edge Radio Broadcast.
Thank you, Daniel.
By the way, you're coming on this. You're coming in crystal clear when we switched off the telephone line onto VoIP high speed. That's a voice over IP over high speed, and it sounds so much clearer. Michael Tazarian, you have a lot of study in the cult and that type of thing. Tell me a little bit about the Druids. What, did they really work around the Stonehenge, and what did they do there?
Yeah, they not only responsible for those monuments, the ones that are familiar to us in England and Ireland. But as your own American scholar, Barry Fell, clearly found out as many years back that the Druids and the so-called Celtic people are actually one of the earliest visitors to America. And my work, my forthcoming book that's coming out next year, focuses a lot on the Irish origins of civilization, which is yet one of the biggest, if not the biggest, cover-up that the world has ever known.
Really?
When we talk about race and civilization, and we talk about the origins of civilization often coming from the Middle East.
Yeah.
All of this is just bogus nonsense. The time has come to expose all that.
Yeah.
In fact, there is a theory concerning the Irish origins of civilization, and it's two American writers or scholars that actually are the people who worked on this thesis originally. As I said, Barry Fell was a very important contributor to that. He was the one who discovered that a lot of these mounds and sacred sites that you have here in America, for instance in Ohio, that are put down to being Native American,
yep.
And even some of the ones in, can you believe it, he was even talking about many of the ones that are in New Mexico, like Casa de Rinconada and these other places, that they're not Native American Indian at all. Now, the Native American Indians have always been telling us that they're not theirs and that they didn't build them. But how come then archaeological and anthropologists in this country haven't bothered asking who did it, because they know who did it,
yeah.
And they don't want to have that accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But the main genius at the turn of the century who wrote on the Irish origins of civilization in this way was a man by the name of Conor McDarry. And Conor McDarry is one of my greatest heroes. You know, I read about his work in Ireland when I was there. It made a lot of sense to me. He's the guy who put a lot of the pieces together. But he, unfortunately, just like Commons Beaumont and Emmanuel Velikovsky, was one of the most suppressed of all authors that you can imagine. So his works are not well known. I'm kind of, you know, following in his footsteps. If people are interested in this thesis, you know, my book will be ready next year, but if they go to the website, taroscopes.com, and click on the link that takes you to astrotheology, there's a link there that says astrotheology. Go there, read that page, read the first page, and read the second page, and on the second page of astrotheology, there is a whole skeleton layout of the theory concerning these Irish origins of civilization, because we need to know about these Druids and how the Druids are connected to the Brahmins, but from an American point of view, how the Druids and the Celtic people are actually connected to the mythologies and the artifacts that are here in this country.
Yeah.
So there's a tremendous interest. You know, I found a tremendous interest in the Celtic legends regarding UFOs, and as we've been talking about alien visitation and the origins of evil, but there's even this incredible tie-in between the original forms of Christianity and Druidism to the original migrations, because it turns out that after Atlantis fell, we know that Atlantis is mentioned, but it's not there for the precise reason that there was enormous earth cataclysms that sank these continents. Well, when Atlantis was destroyed, any types of survivors, Daniel, that existed were known to have gone to the British Isles. The British Isles, to this day, in mythology, is known as the Fortunate Isles or the Blessed Isles, because they knew that it survived these great cataclysms. So the Druids, those people on Ireland in ancient times, were the descendants of the Lemurians and the Atlanteans, highly sophisticated people who took their mystery school teachings and took their religion, their stellar mm-hmm. religion, their yep. solar religion, mm-hmm. throughout the entire world. And that yep. was known up until the rise of the Vatican powers. This was known until the rise of official Holy Roman Empire, when then the rival factions start to suppress this knowledge throughout the world.
Yeah.
But up until that time, up until about the first centuries AD, it was absolutely known all over the world, all civilized people and all civilized countries knew the role that the Druids and the Celtic people played when it came mm-hmm. to civilization and the yeah. dispensation of knowledge and wisdom. Mm-hmm. That was very well known. And my work, like Conor McDowell's work, is to sort of bring back that truth into the world.
Yeah. When you're talking about the Atlantis, did the Atlanteans build the pyramids, or how did they get that technology?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Definitely it was these types of beings. If it was the Atlanteans or the Lemurians, I'm not quite sure yet. I mean, there's even differences between the Sphinx and the pyramid. They know that they're not built at the same time. The Sphinx is so much older. It may have been built before the flood. It often it does show water damage. There are certain scholars like Graham Hancock and Anthony West, you see, who have clearly now exposed the fact that the Sphinx was has water damage,
mm-hmm. well,
more
yeah.
so than the pyramid.
Yeah, but wouldn't
so
that
differences in the datings? But my
okay.
philosophy is that yes, these absolutely were built by the descendants mm-hmm. of the visitors.
Yeah.
Who came here. There's no question about that in my mind at all.
Well, you know, talk about that water damage to the Sphinx. Some people believe that is the one of the proofs of a worldwide cataclysmic flood.
Yes, it is one of the proofs. In fact, the deserts are an extremely modern phenomenon. Our Earth did not know deserts. Deserts have accumulated on this world within just 100 years or so, very, very recent times. We're not told this in official geology, but it's an absolute fact. And, of course, now with the satellite technology, they're able to see beneath the deserts, mm-hmm. and they can see that mm-hmm. there was underground lakes, which once were above ground,
mm-hmm.
and there was great wadis of water, and mm-hmm. that there was rivers, and
yeah.
that there was forests. And we're not just talking about oases. We're talking about that this land was once mm-hmm. very fertile, but it has become arid in very recent times. Some of the Bedouins out there in the Sahara Desert area, in the Sudan and these places, in their own grandfathers' memories, they remember when the entire thing was not desert. So there's been changes on our mm-hmm. Earth, cataclysms that have been happening gradually, but mm-hmm. those are later effects of a massive worldwide polar shift that took place about 13,500 years ago. And before that, going back 50,000 years ago, there was the Great Deluge, the first flood, mm-hmm. which the mythologies all talk about. And my work talks about the real origins of that flood. That flood was not, as Zachariah Sitchin says, you know, or some of the other scriptures are talking about, some careering meteor or comet that happened to be just passing into our solar system. The destruction, the flood was actually caused by the destruction of the 10th planet in our solar system. And it was the willful
really?
Destruction by technology of that planet. This is what the ancient myths are saying. And it's amazing to me that people haven't focused on this before.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a planet between Mars and Jupiter that was 15 times larger than our Earth, and which was almost an entirely ocean planet. And the asteroid belt is the remnant or the leftovers of that destroyed planet. That planet was not just hit by a comet and destroyed. It was willfully destroyed with technology during the war that I mentioned in my book between these rival extraterrestrial factions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what precipitated the 40 days of rain, you know,
really?
And the various cataclysms that one reads mm-hmm. about in these legends.
Yeah. Now, I know you have no use religion per se, but do you believe that Jesus was a historical figure, or was he real?
Yeah, this goes back to the work that we were just talking about regarding the Irish origins of civilization. The Celtic Druids are the first people to ever use the term Iesa, or Yesa or Iosus. So the term Jesus Christ, you know, it's been tracked back to the Semites, it's been tracked back to Egypt, but actually it comes a lot before that. The term Jesus' name amongst the Arabs and still in the Quran to this day is Essa, E-S-S-A. It's one of the earliest names of Jesus. It's used in other places, but it's still used today in the Quran. That word is a Celtic word, a Gaelic word, and it represented their sun king, who was known as Iesa Krios. Okay, so Iesa Krios was the original figure, and that was a physical being. Yes, that was a Christed being, the head of the Magi, who represented the religion of that time. Now, it is also a hierarchy. That means it's passed down. It's a title. Yes, there's a physical man involved, absolutely. But that title is then passed down to the next high druid, the next keeper of the mysteries, okay? So it's not just one individual historical character. This is what Christianity tried to do, is to try to retell this story and make it a single individual, and that, of course, was a botched job. As we're now discovering, that has caused a lot of problems by trying to re-script the story to make it an individual. Mm-hmm. Because it turns out that there's too many individuals, even for Christianity's sake. The Essenes have their teacher of righteousness, you see, who's absolutely clearly Jesus, but yet the Essenes say he lived hundreds of years before Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Gnostics have their Christ figure, right? Yeah. But they're Christians, but they say, no, he also lived hundreds of years before the official date.
Yeah.
Then you have official Christianity. Within official Christianity, you have the Judaic faction who say Jesus was a man, okay? They don't recognize the term Christ at all. They just say this is Yeshua ben Panthera. They're a great teacher, they're a great rabbi, who had physical, corporeal existence, and was nothing more than the Messiah, which meant a man who had more of a political role, okay? And many books have been written about that, the political figure that the Romans hated, and that the Jews ended up hating because he didn't do what they thought he was going to do. And then we have Paul's Christianity, which is the modern Christianity that most Protestants and Catholics know, where it's Jesus Christ the Savior, okay, this divine being. So we don't have one Jesus, we've got many Jesuses.
Mm-hmm.
And if people go to my website and look on the astrotheology page, a lot of this is clarified. So even within the ranks of Christianity, we have up to 4 to 5 different versions of Jesus and a couple of versions of the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway,
we have to realize that these are what you call stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Each of
these cults or groups or sects are taking a figure that they have all known about in previous times. And that is the archetype. And my work is revealing, like Conor McDarry's work has done, that the archetype to which they're all borrowing is an Irish archetype, believe it or not. And this has been a suppressed teaching relating to the solar Christ, the solar Jesus, going back to the Druids, actually, the High Druids of Ireland.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned earlier in the first hour how that it's fortunate that America seems to be the last bastion of the possibility of freedom or free-thinking people. But isn't the whole Western culture based on this? If you consider that Jesus was a myth or an archetype or any other type of mythological creature or made-up person, isn't it a good thing, though? Because Western civilization has allowed us that whole lineage coming through there, the belief through it from the Puritans all the way up to now to the Bible Belt, which many say is the only reason why the United States hasn't turned completely over to the New World Order. But wouldn't you say that has proven beneficial?
Yes, and see, the reason why we do have any kind of light like that is to do with remarkable individuals. We have to give praise to the long line of enlightened ones, smart people, philosophers, you know, activists. You may not agree with them on one level, but you can't stop the fact that they were geniuses in their own right. You may not be a Buddhist, and you may have no time for the teachings of Alan Watts. You may be a person who is politically not in favor of, say, Lyndon LaRouche, right? You may be a person who couldn't care less for the alternative therapies of Wilhelm Reich. You may be a person who has no time, for your own reasons, for the work of Sigmund Freud. But you can't deny that these people, without them, we'd be in a real dark age. So we have very powerful forces that have wanted to keep man as a feudal slave from the 1500s onwards.
Mm-hmm.
But history has its own movement. Knowledge has come to us. Man is curious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do have libraries. We do have places that we can go to learn what has been hidden from us.
Yeah.
And we do have incredible geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
You have many in this country. You have great alternative journalists like Alex Constantine, people who are, and Anthony J. Hilder. People are not going to just be told to stand in line. They're going to look deeper. They're going to research. They're going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to study this most mysterious of all subjects, which is history. Just like I say in my book, As history is taught to us in the normal schools and institutions, sure, it's the most boring of all subjects.
Uh-huh.
But the study of how history has been manipulated, that is one of the most mm-hmm. interesting of all subjects.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see in this country that more and more people are getting into that. They're becoming mm-hmm. critics of
yeah.
their society rather than cynics.
Mm-hmm.
Too many of the children right now are just cynical.
Yeah.
Let's turn those cynical children into critics by saying, hey, guy, there's nothing broken with you. Mm-hmm. It's the system that's broken. Let's study how.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop waving flags in your face and telling you everything's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have a good, cold look at what
yeah.
is wrong.
Yeah.
It's not wrong to look at what is wrong. It's right.
Yeah. You know, Thomas Jefferson said that dissent was the highest form of patriotism. And certainly here on the Edge Radio broadcast, we've got some dissent on a lot of different issues.
Very creative.
You mentioned
it's extremely important for all minds to come together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the Celtic tradition again.
Okay.
In the Celtic tradition and the Arthurian tradition, don't they have a thing called a round table where all the knights sit together at the
mm-hmm.
round table? This is their government. But what are they saying with that beautiful symbol of the round table? They're saying that no one man or woman is the head boy. No one person is the know-it-all. All the knights coming together makes community. Well, kingship, the very word, comes from the word kin, like your kith and kin. Today, the king is some know-it-all demagogue, tyrant. In ancient days, the very word, like if anyone's been watching the Lord of the Rings movies or has read those fantastic books, look at that. Look at the principles that Tolkien was talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Yeah.
About not only the truth of kingship,
mm-hmm.
but also about how the littlest of people, this beautiful metaphor that has just come out, showing
yeah.
again to the human race that the smallest mm-hmm. of individuals can have the greatest of impact.
Yeah.
So if there's light in this world today, it is because of the unique and individual spirit. You know,
okay.
your own philosopher in this country, Ayn Rand, talked about that in her books in the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
about the willful spirit of human beings to get up and find out what they do not already know,
okay.
to push back the boundaries of ignorance. And you've had
mm-hmm.
many incredible people who, just because they were given a whiff of freedom in this country, look what they did with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not be a great supporter of, say, Che Guevara or whatever, or even of certain people like Malcolm
right.
X.
Yeah.
But without
mm-hmm.
these people, what would we be?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
this culture, why I said it has a closer proximity to the freedom, is because it, in theory, allowed
mm-hmm.
a lot of these countercultural people mm-hmm. and a lot of these free thinkers to exist.
Yeah. Well,
these free thinkers don't really exist in Belfast, mm-hmm. Northern Ireland,
yeah.
to tell you the truth.
Well,
We have suppression. We have got gun mm-hmm. to the head.
Yeah.
We've got a campaign of tremendous tyranny over there.
Yeah.
In certain other countries, that's the same way.
Well, yeah.
So here you've had a culture which can breed a lot of that. Now it's slipping away, and America needs to get back to that. You need to fight for it. It's not going to be something that's given to you by your controllers.
Yeah, now that's interesting too, because I don't know if you heard before the show I was alluding to the fact that we have a lot of listeners in the Netherlands and England, and what they've told us is there is no show like The Edge in their country, and so they have to listen to shows like this over the internet. With thank goodness they can still have access, it's not blocked out like the communist regime in China.
Absolutely, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You had a whole Eastern Bloc situation, did you not, until quite recently?
Yeah.
You've got church and gown controlling what you can say. In Ireland, for instance, my mother was a world-famous clairvoyant. She's known all over the world, including America. Was not allowed to run even a newspaper, couple-of-line commercial in a newspaper, let alone coming on radio and television. Luckily, that changed later through her own persistence and through later on, Ireland began to soften up. But for many, many decades, it was forbidden for any clairvoyant or anybody who was a medium to even advertise. How much freedom is that?
Well, that's true, and the people that would try to stifle that is usually the people that's trying to say we're bringing you to an enlightenment, and this is darkness, so you can't hear that because we want to control you. Basically, is what they're saying. They're not saying that they present it to you as that maybe it might be evil, but what they're really doing, they're moving you right into some man's tradition and teaching to bring you to somewhere else because you might have went that way. Well, they want you in their corner, and they'll tell you whatever they got to say to keep you in there.
That's right. And the one thing that allows them to even have a hook onto you, to follow on from what you're saying, because that's a brilliant point you just made, but you see, they would have no power over you in the first place unless your hand already had moved, meaning that there must be something in you that desires what they have. So this is what they're using. Like I said in the earlier part of our show, we have to be very cautious about what it is in us that we think we need from these individuals, because it's
mm-hmm.
that need that we're not in control of that allows us to even look at what these guys, in the street are selling us, what Big Brother is after. It's some insecurities within us. It's some fragmentation within us. It's some sort of need or want or desire, false desire, false want, false need, that leaves us open. Because, see, if we were immune, if we were strong, if we had true community, this word is bandied around a lot. I don't know if anyone even knows that it's a totally misused word. But if we really had true community in a true way, running our own shop, running our own states, running our own neighborhoods, we wouldn't need a damn thing that the big brother comes, no matter what it would fly from its cart. We wouldn't touch it because we'd know it's lethal.
There you go.
We have become so destitute of the things that really matter in this world, you see, that they can come along with their fake systems, sell it to us cheap, and then we give our souls for it.
Whoa.
But you see, the hand wouldn't move if we were in control of our own destiny, our own life. So again, the journey starts intimately. What is it that you think you need? You know, the psychologists talk about this in our relationships. What is it you think you need from the other person that this person then can have control over you completely? Why are you so dependent on this other person in your life, and why do you also seek to make this other person dependent on you?
One
is bad, that you're dependent.
Right.
The other is criminal, that you're also subtly trying to make the other person dependent on you. That's where the moral failing is.
Okay.
Well, take that scenario that's very well known in relationships.
All right.
Take that up a little bit to our relationship to the government, or to Big Brother, or to any authority that man puts over himself.
Okay. All right, Michael.
You cannot have control over your mind unless you yourself have first opened the doors.
Hmm.
It's as simple as that. Psychic sovereignty, spiritual sovereignty, legal sovereignty. What we're talking about here is strengthening the immune system of the person and the state and the individual so that these particular viruses cannot come in. It's a homeopathic approach. It's a holistic approach.
Okay.
The last chapter of my book goes into this. What I mean about fighting the good fight is not fighting with the weapons that your enemy has handed to you.
Mm-hmm.
What good is that? We can't approximate the force.
Right.
You know, Einstein said you don't solve a problem by the same level of intelligence that brought the problem into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Buckminster Fuller said that if you want to change something, you create another system that replaces and outdoes the previous system that you don't like. You have to invent, you see, a new way of doing things. And the last chapter of the book, which is called Time to Change the Road You're On, goes into that, about what are the new ways, the new perspectives that we have to look at this conflict of evil and understand what we're also doing to bring it into existence.
Okay.
That's where the key is.
All right. Michael, we've got to go to our final break, so just hang on, please. Everybody, you're listening to The Edge Radio Broadcast. My name is Daniel Ott, and we will be back next week, of course, in this same time, and you can expect the best in guests as we continue to light the nighttime sky with truth. In fact, that's the logo of The Edge Radio Broadcast, discovering the truth together.
If you have a message, product, or service you want to reach the world, you need a website. These days, if you don't have a website, you are simply not competing in the marketplace. However, if you have a website and it looks tacky, many will simply click off and go somewhere else. Hello, my name is Daniel Ott, host of the Edge Radio Broadcast. When I'm not in the studio bringing you the best in guests on the Edge Radio program, I'm creating cool-looking websites with our producer at our company called Internet Solutions. We've been creating great-looking websites for years. Our websites catch the visitor's eyes so that they can learn more about your message, product, or services. Our websites simply keep visitors on your site longer. A new website from Internet Solutions increases your credibility and then brings you results. So if you need a website or an upgrade to an existing website, go to Internet Solutions at es4.com and click on Website Design. There's a world of opportunity out there. Get a great-looking website from Internet Solutions. You need website hosting? Internet Solutions does that too. Remember, that's es4.com. Now, for additional information, call us at 1-800-99-MYNET. That's 1-800-99-MYNET. This is Daniel Ott for Internet Solutions. Today's technology, yesterday's values.
Ride on the Edge Radio Broadcast. Your mission commander, Daniel Ott.
And welcome back to the last few minutes of the Edge Radio broadcast. On our newsmaker line, we have with us Michael Tazarian. Michael, you've brought a lot of good points to the show tonight, and I appreciate that so much. And hopefully our listeners will glean the truth. I mean, everyone that comes on the show brings us something, and I think you brought some things that we can think about. And for those of us who need to think a little bit more, we can go to the edgeam.com website tomorrow and listen to this interview again.
Thank you for that. Yeah, if people want to contact me, you can do that by phone at 650-223-3304. If they want to find out more about what I'm doing or to order an Atlantis book, they can do that. We certainly make that easy. That's just go to the website, taroscopes.com, T-A-R-O-S-C-O-P-E-S. And if you want a e-book, that's an electronic book, then they can go to atlantisbook.com and they'll find information there. And my contact information is on the website. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I do a lot of radio and TV, and I'm very optimistic about the kind of responses that mm-hmm. I do get.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's wonderful that people like yourself have spent your time to do exactly what it is that we've been talking about, which is empower yourself through the means that you have at hand. We need more radio shows. We need more internet sites. We need more web stream, all sorts of modalities. You know, there's no time for apathy and there's no time for pessimism. This fight is very, very important. It's part of our own spiritual destiny. You know, this whole discovery of who we are. And where our roots are, and how to solve this incredible game, this matrix
mm-hmm.
that has been put before us.
Yeah.
We have a rival, we have an adversary, yes, but we have also brought that adversary into being. I know that sounds a little metaphysical, but it's a fact. And we have to learn what it is that we are doing that maybe strengthen. You know, remember the movie The Fifth Element,
yeah.
where the spaceships are firing at the incoming rival,
mm-hmm.
and they're very firing at it, makes it stronger, makes
yeah.
it hugely bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can work out why that is, because this thing, this beast, is sucking energy from its victim. Well, in a way, this secret government or hidden brotherhood or whatever you want to call it, that's exactly what they're doing. They've been able to get power out of us because we've been fighting them in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
We've been fighting them with the tools that they've been handing us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why there's no progress. This is why there's very little progress. And as you kind of hinted earlier on, they are the ones who put their own politicians right in our midst. They're the ones who put the deceivers, you see, right in our churches and right in our communities to tell us exactly what we want to hear so that we follow on like sheep
yeah.
to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's about waking up. It's becoming more sensible. It's realizing, like what my people in Ireland know, is that freedom is never bestowed to you by your oppressor. You have to fight for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And it seems to me we have maybe a window of opportunity with the tools that we have at our disposal, like this show here, like you said. And I understand there was some sort of a clampdown on Alex Jones and Prison Planet. So I don't know if those type of things are going to continue. But, you know, if they start passing more laws about hate speech or any other kind of way, they can pass these laws. And they know very good and well who the freedom thinkers are the ones going to be that they're really after. They may say sell it to us for our benefit, you know, but I think in the end they have an ulterior motive.
They have always got ulterior motives, you know, but you see, the truth is a very powerful weapon. And I know that Alex Jones is one of the greatest spokesmen. I certainly have tremendous respect for his work, and, you know, he is not going to be put down. I'd just like to see them try to put that guy down, you know, and better still, even if they manage that, there'll be another Alex Jones. You know, your tradition of truth seekers goes back a long way. It goes back to the Eustace Mullins and to Gary Allen, you know, and to many thinkers who tried to expose this conspiracy,
yeah,
back to even Charles Lindbergh Sr. You know, there's been many
really?
Figures. It's not so easy to put down truth as people think.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we're in an era now, we're in a particular zone of 10 years, where more and more and more people are going to realize that something is wrong with the status quo, with the way things are here, and are going to become more receptive. Because that's all basically that it requires, is receptivity.
Mm-hmm.
There is an inner instinct in all human beings for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we our job is just to, you know, make sure that truth is provided.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it was not, even if it was suppressed utterly, like there has been in many dictatorships, nevertheless, there'll be ways. You know, one of my colleagues over in Europe, Yuri Lina, who's written extensively on Freemasonry, he is like was on the top of the KGB hit list for decades. And probably still is. He's one of the most sought after, you know, people against the Soviet system. So he knows all about that kind of control and suppression. He's been hunted all through Europe simply because he wrote books exposing that communism and Freemasonry are not necessarily unconnected, you know what I mean?
Mm, exactly.
But there's a tremendous connection there.
Right.
So there is so even in a time when there's tremendous suppression, yes, there will still be the truth seekers and the people trying to, you know, get the light out.
Yeah.
Now, we in our own life in this America have these privileges because there is a culture here that even though it's getting a little bit more fear oriented and paranoid, at the same time there's we can use the internet, we can use the television, we can use our digital cameras, we can use the pen, we can use the microphone, we can use the electric guitar. You know, we have young people, I have young people, a lot who are members of my mystery school, who are tremendously interested in finding out what has been hidden from them, and not necessarily believing, you know, what they've been told from official sources.
Hmm. All right, Michael Desarian, we have about 2 minutes left. Anything you'd like to say to close out the show?
Yeah, just, you know, again, I would like to first thank you. Mostly just thank you, you know, again, for contacting me and allowing me this platform. I think your show is great. What you're doing is wonderful. I know maybe we can do this again.
Sure.
Because there's a lot to go into. There's some very interesting prophecies about 2012. Again, there's a lot of disinformation, so people need to... I have a DVD coming out in about a month's time called 2012, Where History Ends, which goes into a lot of these, what's going to happen in the next 10 years, you know, from a point of view of prophecy, what we need to do to be ready for all of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we should maybe do a show on that because there's a whole part to be aware of what's coming down the tubes in the future, not only knowing what Big Brother might be doing, but what we can do about it, you know.
Okay. Well, that would be a good show to have, talking about the what may be in the future for America and the world, of course. Well, Michael Desarian, thank you for coming on the Edge Radio broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Yeah, absolutely. People are free to, you know, visit the website and see the web stream. A lot of stuff we've talked about right now is there on a free web stream. A couple of different talks I've done during the last few years here in America are featured there for free.
Okay.
You're welcome to contact me with any comments also. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Have a good evening, then.
Good work.
All right, sir.
You have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com, where you can find out more about the guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at es4.com. That's es4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.